Okay, it's 4:03, Mr. Chair.
All right, we'll call this meeting to order of the Board of the Artesia Cemetery District, the Board of Trustees. Can we have a roll call?
Sure. Acting Chair Trevino?
Present.
Trustee Gonzalez?
Here.
Trustee Wada?
Here.
Okay, we're all here. So we have selection of a chair.
Okay, so at this time we need to have an appointment as a permanent chair for the term, and I know the district manager has indicated the term ends in December of 2019, which is at the end of this year. So is it a one-year term? Is it 2 years?
I think usually you rotate every year, usually. Okay. So, you know, we're just all new to this, so usually since everybody, when we start a fresh new year, it'd be January. You guys get appointed in January anyway, that's the way you should do, so January. So December will be where it is.
So if we have nominations, you can nominate somebody.
Is there any way that we can wait to see if we get five people by then?
Oh, yeah, you could have still an acting chair until next month. It's up to you.
Well, yeah. I have a question. What are the duties of the chair?
Well, from my experience, and you can jump in if I stray the wrong way, the duties of the chair is to work with the district manager. Well, let me back up a little bit. The role of the board, I think, the trustee role, is to approve policy and to guide the district manager when he seeks our recommendation, since we're dealing with taxpayer funding. We don't get involved in the day-to-day operation. We don't get involved in any of that. So that's what Mr. Mendoza has been hired to do. So the role of the chair is to run the meeting, to kind of facilitate things with Mr. Mendoza if he needs any assistance outside, because I know he's in contact with the county for legal issues, financial issues. So he runs the cemetery. We're simply here to oversee, provide a little bit of guidance, and to approve policy. If I missed anything or said something wrong,
That's the role of the board, to kind of create policy.
I would agree with your assessment based on my past experience with boards. My position as a board member is simply, I do not want to relinquish the authority that has been vested in me to anyone else. My interpretation has always been that the chair, you know, runs the meeting, organizes the meeting, deals with the public, if there's public comments, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That is my preference in terms of the definition of a chair. At the same time, I think it's also important that should the board decide to vest more authority in the chair, you know, when things happen that aren't so hot, it falls right back on that person, and I think it's safer if it's spread over three or however many board members that there are. I agree with you also that it's possible, if not probable, that this board could expand to five within the next couple of months, and it might be premature to select a permanent chair when we're so close to the end of the fiscal or this current year, you know. So those are my feelings at this point.
Mm-hmm. Trustee Gonzalez, do you have any comments?
So that's my recommendation, or my point is basically, I guess I could say leave it how it is until we see if we get the five people, hopefully by December.
Okay. So
I think, and if I may say, so go ahead, Mr. Mendoza, you were going to say something?
No, I'm just trying to get clarified. You were saying you wanted to keep it as an acting chair between now until we get the a full board to be able to board?
I would say yes.
Okay.
Or at least until we have confirmation whether the approval to expand to five takes place.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
So I think a chair needs to be appointed. The chair is simply a figurehead. I have no more power than you do. I have one vote, you have one vote, you have one vote. If you would like something on the agenda, you instruct the district manager to put it on the agenda. There has to be a point of contact for the county, and there has to be a point of contact for the district manager. As acting chair, we had an incident a couple of weeks ago where the alarm went off here at night, and the district manager sent me an email. Now, he's not going to send it to everybody, chair. He's going to interact with the chair on things that need to be interacted upon. Again, the board as a whole makes policy. We don't interact on a day-to-day basis. If he feels the entire board needs to know something, then he'll do so. And he'll probably say in an email, well...
I was going to just say I did email everybody the information about the learning, sorry.
Okay. So, so the thing is, if when you email multiple electeds or appointed individuals, you should put on there, please do not reply all, so we're not in violation of the Brown Act. You know? So, it is what it is, and we can continue as an acting chair because the resolutions that are going to be approved today have to be signed by the chair. And if I'm acting chair, I'm going to sign those, whether I'm acting chair or chair. So there's no more authority vested or not vested, but that we can, we're a board, so we want to wait until January, we can wait till January.
Well, if we have the 5 members by December, we still couldn't vote until 2020 actually begins to have the formal quote-unquote chair. My interpretation, I have lots of opinions, which doesn't necessarily mean they're correct. You know, it seems that the acting chair, whoever the acting chair is, that there really is no difference in terms of what the acting chair would do versus the chair. Would you look at it like that?
I don't think there's any difference.
Then I think your suggestion that we just keep it as an acting chair until we get a full board seems to be a reasonable way, you know.
I have no problem with that.
So you're going to continue to be an acting chair?
I'm going to continue to be an acting chair, but I don't want it to be held against me in January. Well, you already served as chair.
Well, I think that in January we need to do an honest vote we should.
Oh, yeah.
No, every vote is honest.
No. But I mean, we shouldn't say you were already chair, so that's got to go to the next 4 people.
It would not.
One of the next 4 people.
If you would choose to continue to be a formal chair, and then now I'm going to sound like a broken record on this topic because I continue to keep coming back to this because I think this is at the root of the different challenges that we have. As far as I can tell, there's no formal board policy and procedure handle. Therefore, we have no foundation in terms of anything that we do. Now, apparently, the cemetery district has run like this for decades. At some point in time, and I really hate to even suggest this, I'm retired, it doesn't make any difference to me, but you guys are working and are busy. We probably, at some point, need a separate study session to put this thing together. Then, if we decide that someone cannot serve 2 consecutive terms as a chair, then that's in the policy manual. If there's going to be no limit on the number of times someone can serve as a chair, we should put that into the manual. And therefore, we have foundation. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
I appreciate the thoughts. And going off of my role on the Artesia City Council and serving as commissioner on appointed commissions, we can have a chair 1 year, and if nobody wants to step up, then that person can serve for consecutive years. We don't have a policy. We do have Robert's Rules of Order, which we use to govern the meetings. But I'm not here to debate a chair, so we can move that forward. With no further discussion, we'll move that, and we will table that until further needed.
Yeah.
All right. Public comments at this time on closed session items.
Okay. So yes, we have 2 items that are going to be in closed session. Item 1, conference with legal counsel, potential initiation of litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 549.56.9. 4, 1 potential case, and then also a general legal counsel resignation. Those 2 items that are in closed session. So. We can go into closed session now, Mr. Chair, if you wish.
Yes, let's move to closed session.
The gentleman that came in here was asking about whether we were in open or closed session. Is this somebody that wants to make public comments?
They're here to speak, and they'll have a public comment period that they could actually speak on an item that's on or not on the agenda. And this is closed session, they can't there's nothing for them to be participating in because it's closed session, so they won't be able to be a part of it.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, I thought maybe they would speak on the closed session items before we go. Because that seems to be the order on the agenda.
Actually, we could. I just don't know if they know what we're going to initiation in the closed session for. It doesn't say if we're going for the potential care, potential litigation.
Should I ask if they're going to speak now or they want to speak after?
Yeah, we could ask them.
Ask them.
Do they want to speak now because there's a time for the public to speak, or do they want to speak after the closed session?
Christina, it's hard to get cold in here.
Well, I have hot coffee. Well, it's no longer hot.
Because it starts off getting cold.
Well, if you're cold,
well,
you can speak if you like to speak now.
I think so. Yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah, well, we're about to start closed session, and there's a public comment period right now, or there's a public comment period when we start the regular meeting, so you decide how you want to do it. You want to speak now, or?
How long is your closed session going to last?
We don't.
Is your regular meeting involve the contract?
Nope.
No, it doesn't.
And
closed session involves the contract?
No, we don't know yet. Well, it's not listed, but yeah, potentially.
If this is the public comment section on the closed session, the contract's going to be discussed in the closed session, I guess we'd like to make a comment now. But I mean, if it's just inviting us to make comments, we send a letter to Mr. Trevino, which was intended for the board. I don't really think we have much more to say other than what's in the letter, to be honest with you. And we're here today to, you know, respond to any questions you may have about it. But that would be our comment, I think. So.
Okay.
If there's, because we are going to proceed right into closed session, so if you wanted to make a comment, this would be the time where it's made, other than what's in writing from the letter.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we have much else more to say other than what's in the letter, but we're here to address any questions, you know, that you have about the letter.
Have you all received a copy of the letter?
Yeah, I want to make sure that's being submitted.
So he has not, so our new board member hasn't received it, and Linda Gonzalez, you received a copy?
And it's right here. It will be shared at an appropriate time.
Well, we're here now, so it might be appropriate for us to give.
I want to make sure that the letter is shared with everybody. Otherwise, I'll, you know,
It will be shared. That's what it will be shared.
Okay. Everyone's got it?
Yes.
The letter? Okay.
Good to go.
So there's no. My question is, there's no proposal, because there was the last meeting, there's supposed to be a proposal for us today.
Is everything being discussed in closed session?
Will it be reiterated when it reopens?
It will just be a brief summary of what occurred.
So I think we should stick around. Will there be public comment after the brief summary?
There is public comment at the end of the agenda with a 3-minute limit.
Yeah, there's still more public comment.
Okay.
There's always public comment. Yeah.
So we'll stick around.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, so it is 4:17.
It will convene to closed session.
So motion to move to closed session.
Yep, we're going to closed session now at 4:17. Okay. And also you're gonna go ahead and yes, they could bring the chairs in, guys. Sorry, we don't have chairs yet. If you're gonna, I don't know how long you're gonna stay here, but
we're gonna listen to your.
Okay.
We're fine.
Okay. All right.
Chair? You want a chair?
If you need a chair, go for it.
You guys want chairs?
Yeah.
Mark. You want a chair?
No. Okay. So.
My phone is acting up.
5:24. So we are reconvening from closed session at 5:24. And Mr. Chair, if you like, I would go ahead and report back.
Please do.
Okay. Basically, the the board met and directed the district manager to turn over the letter to our general counsel so that he can review and provide a response and other information to the board at a future meeting. That's item number one. Item number two, the board made a motion to continue or not accept the resignation of the general counsel. So, and that concludes our report.
Okay. And there were somebody wanted to speak.
In regards to the letter being reviewed by general counsel, that's the letter that was prepared by Pro Builders.
Yes.
And that's the general counsel that previously had resigned from the cemetery?
Well, the resignation was had a time limit on it, that he was going to work with the board through the end of, I think, the end of September.
Will the general counsel be contacting me directly about this? Or?
He will have every opportunity to do that.
Is this contact information available to us so we can, our attorney can have it?
Sure.
So at this time, there's still no motion to terminate the contract, or
right now the council is going to be provided that letter, and they're going to formulate a response based on the offer and the request in the letter.
Okay.
So he's got to reply to it.
And at this time, still work is just on a standstill.
Work is on a standstill.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Are there any issues any other issues that need to be taken up as far as Pro Builders right now?
Hey, in regards to that, sir, I think the attorney would be best to answer that question.
Okay. Do you have a time frame as far as when we can expect a response?
Hopefully within a few weeks.
Within a few weeks? Okay.
And if sooner, we will notify you sooner.
Okay.
All right. Can we have your contact information so he can start including you on any future emails?
Sure. It's Mike, M-I-K-E, WADA 11, at gmail.com.
I would advise maybe to just keep the communication maybe just with me, or maybe when you get the information for the attorney, maybe just keep it with you guys. And including the board of trustees makes it a little bit more difficult, especially when we're talking about potential Brown Act violations. And I don't.
What violations? Excuse me.
Brown Act violations, because we are a public cemetery, and two of them make up a quorum. And when you add them to one email, and you have two in that email, giving them information, or how, it can be a possible violation of the Brown Act, especially. So it's very complicated. But I would advise maybe just keep it with either myself or the legal counsel. Would be really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can have your legal counsel contact me, I'm happy to do that.
You're welcome.
Okay. All right, Dave. Do you have any questions of us? Any questions about the letter, or anything that you want to talk about before you communicate it to general counsel?
No.
No.
Okay. Everything is good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Cemetery District Board of Trustees, and that will commence at 5:29 for the record. So if we can have a roll call.
Sure. Acting Chair Trevino.
Present.
Trustee Wada.
Here.
And Trustee Gonzalez.
Stay here.
Trustee Gonzalez.
Are you here?
Okay, great.
We want you.
Okay.
All right. At this time, if we could have the Pledge of Allegiance, maybe Mike.
Yeah, we will have flags, but we have a flag right outside, so we're facing our flag for this.
The Pledge of Allegiance, Mike.
All right. Place your right hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Trustee Gonzalez, would you like to lead us in the invocation?
Yes, if we could bow our heads, please. Dear Lord, please bless our meeting today. Please bless our new trustee, Mr. Wada, and welcome him. And I ask you to say your holy name, amen. Amen.
All right, can we have an approval of the agenda?
Moved.
All right, with no objection, it is so moved and approved. And now we are at public comment.
Okay. You have one person in the audience. I'm sure there's any public comments. Okay.
No public comment since there are none at this time.
There's a new member.
There's public comment right here.
Sorry, Keith.
And you take him outside and he'll come back and he'll find a way.
I'm sorry. So,
no public comment this time.
Okay.
So the first thing, we'll go to the district manager's report.
Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just to give you a quick update, I provided the update there for you. Landscaping, it's a continued work. Speaking of the sprinkler head, said there's always another irrigation timer. It's just when we have time. We've been kind of busy with funerals and it's just been really hectic around here, but we're getting there little by little, unfortunately, but we're getting there. And we're trying to do it in-house more than trying to let the landscaping company do it. I'd rather do it in-house as much as possible to save money. So, and then we've also been doing a lot of we've been lifting headstones off and on. Whenever we have downtime, we start lifting headstones, we start cleaning them, we start doing. I wanted to share some information that Anna put together. Oh my God, it's a lot of work, but I want to share it with you because we're kind of excited because this is something I want to keep tracking. It's something it tells you how busy we really are and what's going on, what's really happening here, and it kind of puts it in perspective. The first sheet I want to share with you talks about, it kind of showcases we just got it done so we couldn't show it earlier. So it actually showcases all the work that we've been doing this month, for the month of August, all the work orders. And this is not everything, because sometimes people show up, we just walk out with them and do it, right? We don't even have a chance to write the order down. But if you look at this, I know it's a lot of verbiage. All the big numbers you should look at is in the bottom, and then the top where it explains it. For example, how many plots we actually probe? 4. You know, place marker, 3, replay base, 4. But then you start going into located, we have to go out there and locate cups and stuff for people. That's 22 of them, and then 5 new ways, and then we started lifting headstones, 30 of those. We cleaned 30 headstones, and we just got, located graves because people can't find their loved ones. We started sending them out there. So that took some time. This is just August. And then if you look at July, we had
can I ask, what is probing a plot?
Ooh, that's a very scientific method of actually seeing if there's a person buried in that gravesite. But it's not really that scientific, because we take a rod and we ram it in there until we hit the coffin.
I see.
Yeah, not very scientific.
Really? Yeah. What if it was a green burial?
Yeah, you go right through it. Yeah, but we still use the vaults, so we'll hit the vaults, right? But if it was before 1977, it's going to go right through it. You won't feel it. I mean, not feel it. You won't feel the rod going through it.
Any reason why we would think that somebody is not in a grave?
Yeah, because somebody buried in the wrong place.
Oh.
Yeah, or they, you know. This one, it's a lot longer. As you can tell, we on the month of July, we did 128 headstones we lifted. That's just amazing. And everything else was 8 here and there. And we did 128 because we actually, for 2 weeks, we had a volunteer. Remember we mentioned that we had a volunteer? So we had him lifting headstones.
Wow.
It just goes to show you how much we actually got accomplished. And that third individual was here, right? So it was, and think about it. This is July and August, like the hottest months, right? So these guys are out there cranking it. It is not no easy task. And this is besides the other work that we have to do here, right? Whether it be putting down markers, you know, whether it be, you know, digging a grave, right? All that other stuff, it's, you know, this is beside that. So anyway, I want to share that information with you. Just to kind of let you know that's what we're doing as far as heading 15 Headstone.
Thank you for this. It's very informative. Yeah. Really tells you not only where the work is being done, but what the nature of the challenges are.
And we didn't do one for them, but we do in the office because, and we might, it's just, in order for them to have the work order, we have to go and dig the record. So that's another process right there. But anyway, just wanted to give you an idea of what two people are doing in the field. Our database, it's ongoing. We actually already kind of got trained on it. We just need to have the time to actually input the data. That's the biggest challenge, is making sure that we have the time to do it correctly. I'm fearful of just getting anybody to do it that would just get it done and then put the wrong initial, the wrong name, the wrong spelling, then we'll throw the records off and then we'll be back to square one. So we're working on what's the best way of getting the data entry done. Besides ourselves, because our schedule is pretty busy, our plate is pretty full, so we have to find a way of either reaching out to the college. Hopefully we'll have somebody, an intern or somebody that could work. I'm thinking about maybe offering like $100 stipend just to kind of like pay for their gas to be here 4 hours a day or something like that. Just something that I could get somebody to come and do some pretty much free labor, you know? I don't know. But I'm working on it because it would take a lot of time for us to kind of sit there and input data. You know, it would just scan papers. It takes time. You got to be very diligent, you know, make sure that everything's done correctly. It's just tedious. New website, we're working on that actually. We also went through the, sort of like a training. They showed us, oh, I'm sorry, guys, there's food back there, and there's also vegetables there with ranch and provider kind of. Anyway, so there's the website. It's a company that does website for special districts, and they know that the law requires us to have certain things on that website that our website doesn't do right now. So we have to become compliant, and they're actually not that expensive, and they're very reasonable, and. Again, I'm trying to get that done before the end of the month because our current provider, our current website host, the quarter ends at the end of this month, and I don't want to start a new quarter with him, but maybe I just get a month from him. But I really want to switch over. I want to switch our address, our email address from our website address from Artesia Cemetery District to just Artesia Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Right? And the email too, right? You know, Anna@ArtesiaCemetery.com, not district. It just throws it, makes it way too long for people. So I'm working on that to make it shorter and hopefully nicer. And I hope to get it done by the end of the month. But it's a lot of work. Unfortunately, it falls on us that we have to put the language on there. We have to put the picture. We have to do all that, and then make sure we're compliant and how to. So it's fun. It's easy. Not that difficult. You got to play with it, but it's time consuming. Obviously, it takes time from everything else we got to do. Polymer vaults, they are already here. They're outside. We actually did a dry run yesterday. We rolled one down, rolled it back up, rolled it back down, just try to see if it works. We took off some, there was some arms there that kind of dropped it. We took off the arms to make it easier for us to bring it down. But now I have to probably buy some cross beams to kind of put it on the lowering device where we put the coffin on there, kind of holds it. And when it's time to lower it, we just move the cross beams on and put the casket on and we can lower after that. So, but we want to do a few more dry runs before we actually start selling them.
Okay, so you haven't started selling them.
Oh, no, not yet. I want to make sure this is working before I, you know, take the leap of doing our own vaults. It's pretty cool, but it's a big undertaking. You don't want to mess this up. You don't have a second chance on this. So, anyway, so that we're excited about that.
Wherever you purchased them, did they train you guys how to do
Yeah, they came yesterday. The owner delivered them himself, and he got it off, and he got it off all 10 vaults, put them right here. We took one over there. We put it on. We had a grave open yesterday, right for today. So we put it on there. We tested the device. It wasn't working at first. We took some things off and fixed it. Okay, now it works. And then we lowered it. We did it a couple times. We put two of the canopies. We folded down. They're heavy. They're 100 pounds. So we put two of them stacked in there. And then we put the lid on, and then we dropped it, so it'll be heavy. And just tried it out, up and down, and it worked. You know, we need a few things.
The workers were trained.
They showed me. Yeah, we were doing how to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Good.
Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Compliance issues again. I believe Joanna worked on this. She really did a lot to get us compliant with. Remember, I told you that our cemetery had three accounts with DDD, and I don't know why we had three accounts. One for the disability, one for the PIT, the tax, and then the other one was for unemployment. And I'm like, every business has one, and you have all three. What? So we struggled, and then we were getting fined because you didn't put this account information in this account. And we were current on this one, but we messed up on these two. And we didn't know there were three until April. We're like, what is going on? Well, it turns out that all public agencies, from what I hear, we are required to have three. So, and I guess QuickBooks and all these folks are like, hey, I don't know about that. We only do one. Like, right. Dude, can you do three? And they don't do three, so we have to do it now. Wow. I'm like, so we're paying them to do, yeah, so I got to solve that problem. But anyway, so Anna, fortunately, got us compliant for the first quarter and second quarter. So we're good right now.
Congratulations.
Yeah. So she's learning a lot, and I'm trying to keep up with her. But wow, what a craziness. So anyway, I know you have probably just one in your business.
Yeah.
So imagine having three, just one for each one, it just makes no sense. So anyway, so we're compliant, I think we're good. We're still waiting for the IRS because they wanted to bill it for something we already paid. So they were like, oh, we'll get back to you, and they haven't got back to me yet. So I don't know. Okay, as far as the debt update, I did give you the handout there. All the debt that already has been paid. This is debt that was prior to us getting here. We've already paid about $45,000, you can see right there. These other matters are legal cases that are pending that the county council is helping us out with. The lease and excavator, the initial agenda that's coming up later, pretty much our attorneys told us, guys, you're using the equipment, so you can't say it doesn't fit. You're making it fit, so, and we'll hold them up as much as we can. But honestly, if they sue us, they'll probably be winning, right?
Right.
So that's why I came up with our plan later on in the agenda. Because that's what they told me. So, but we have another three cases still pending with them, so we'll see.
Why do we have legal cases pending?
Because the people that were here entered into contracts they were not authorized to do. See, the person that was here was acting as the district manager, and he was an assistant, labeled as an assistant district manager, had no authority to enter into those contracts. Whether it be with an excavator, whether it be with a database that was, the database, if you look at the price, $73,000 for a database? Man. So, and they paid them $22,000 already.
Yeah.
And the company's saying, no, we want the rest of it. What? Are you kidding me? So they're fighting us, and the attorney, the county council, is kind of pushing back on them. And then they did a master plan for the park right there, but what do we do afterward with it? But he entered this contract, again, $4,600, but... you know, they still want the other $5,000. I go, dude, you didn't submit anything. What? Just walk away, man. Keep the $4,000. But no, they're adamant. And then the other one is just a case anywhere, some sort of lawsuit that involved all the different districts throughout the county. They all joined together to pay some amount, so they could all fight. We used one attorney to fight the same case, but everybody pitched in. Somehow we were included, and I'm not sure. So they're looking into that as well.
Speaking of the database, thought that I had was at ABC Adult School. I mean, they're a source just like Swedish College would be.
Yeah.
You know, they have these kinds of classes for the data entry. Okay. They might even have website design, to help Anna if you even wanted to get somebody out of one of the classes to just answer the phone. It's possible that the teacher might be able to get that person some credit.
I'm going to reach out. I'm putting together a little... intern, kind of like
right up.
That's cool. Okay, yeah, I like that idea. Actually, I talked to the principal one time at our event. I said, "Can you do this?" Yeah.
Go, Pauline.
Yeah, talk to Pauline. Okay. Going back to my report. That's the debt update. Endowment investment. The gentleman's going to send me some information tomorrow or Monday with potential ways of investing the money so we can get more revenue for it than just less than like 1% at the bank right now. We don't get any money for it. But if we put it into the savings fund that might generate more interest, hopefully we'll be able to repay the debt more. By the way, Mike, our auditor found that the district owes the trust fund, which is the endowment fund, we owe it about $900,000 because the people that were here before mismanaged it and spent it, and it was illegal for them to touch it. So now we have to proactively pay it back. And one of the avenues I'm trying to find is if I could invest the endowment funds into some sort of high generating interest account that's legal, because some of them are illegal, and I would work with the county council or with our district council so that the interest that's generated on top of there. So say we put in $80,000 and we make $2,000 a month or a year, then that money could be used towards paying the debt.
good faith effort.
Yeah, right. So basically, that's what we're lower. It might take me 20 years to do it, but we got to do it, right? So whatever. So that'll be a part of our plan on paying it back. So I'm creating a plan. That's one avenue. We'll other have other avenues to pay that back as soon as possible, so that we can have free money. Or
consider credit unions, because they tend to have better interest rates.
Yeah, yeah. No, these will probably be way. Yeah, but yeah, I'm looking at all avenues. So this guy's looking. He works with other cemeteries that have really good endowment funds that have generated a lot of funds. So yeah, we're good there. So I'm working on that. As soon as I get some information, I'll come back and present to you guys. Golf cart retrieval. We already got the golf cart is parked out there.
Oh, when?
Last week, last Friday.
Who have?
My friend, the one with the tow truck, went to pick it up. They went. So it doesn't work. I gotta get it to work, but they told me that sometimes it might cost like $1,000 to get it working. Might not be worth it. So anyway, we're looking
maybe
at what.
It might be worth it too.
It might be. So I'm trying to figure out how we're gonna do that. But you have it right there.
Where was it?
And our predecessors, the manager here, they had it parked in front of their house. They took it home. And they kept on calling us for the past month to come pick it up. And I was angry to come pick it. And I asked them, how did they get there? And they couldn't answer. So, anyway. So that's,
I hate to ask this question. But the issue with the trust fund, the issue with the cemetery property being a private residence, seem to be criminal acts in the trust fund.
Yes, actually the county auditor investigative unit is looking into the matter. They're doing all the investigation that kept them up to speed up what has happened here. I actually told them about the dog that's buried back there, that we got to take it out, and that's also illegal and criminal.
Did you take that out?
We're going to take it out.
Oh.
Yeah, it's back there buried, and I need that spot. So I already talked to the dog farm. How they can do this, we'll pick it up, but we don't take it out. I'm like, okay, we'll take it out, but we don't want to pick it up. So you know, so we're negotiating right now so they can come take handle that, because I don't want to. It might be just dog soup. I'm like, ugh. It might be, but I had it 3 years, like 3 or 4 years ago. So
well, let's get back to Hunter for a second. So if their unit is investigating, will they institute action to try to retrieve money from the people who took it?
I think that will be the intention, because once it goes to the DA will actually be the one who kind of begins to look into it and try to...
Because I believe, wouldn't the county force these people to liquidate their assets, not sell their house?
That's what I think we would like them to do, and I think they might, and they do have assets, they do have houses. So that what might happen, but it's right now in the investigative unit's hand, and it should be going to the. They're gonna turn that over once they get everything done to the county
district
attorney's office, and okay. It'll go from there.
And so the trust fund money, what can it be used for?
Only for the perpetual maintenance of this cemetery. So when this cemetery gets maxed out, there's no more selling going on. The trust fund, the interest on the trust fund, will begin to pay somebody to open up the gates. Or pay the maintenance, or the someone to cut the grass, the water bill, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But it cannot be used until that point in time.
Just the interest, not the heart of the money, not the principal. Just the interest can be used for that. So you're gonna build this because in 30 years, this fund should be at like 2 to 3 or 4 million, and maybe the interest will be sufficient to pay for somebody to actually do the work. You see what I'm saying?
But the interest couldn't be used at this point to, let's say, complete whatever.
It could, but we want to use the interest to pay back $900,000 bill.
Yeah.
That's I'm trying to get that in there, because $900,000 would be, we're putting that bill on future trustees, and so I'm trying to get that bill paid in the next 10 to 20. So that way it frees up.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're finally done the max out in 20 to 30 years, they don't have that debt pending with them. You know, they have to make sure, we want to make sure that fund is replenished as best as possible. Letters to retrieve. Oh yeah, I already sent the letters out to the Uters to retrieve the 15 plots. They came in and wanted to fight for 3 plots, not the 15, just 3. And I'm like, okay. And here's a receipt. They gave me the receipt. And then he also brought a form to transfer the title from the grandma to them. And I'm thinking, no, before we go do that transfer order, and plus we don't use that form anymore. That's an outdated one. We have a newer one. Before we even go there, I have to verify that these receipts are actually legitimate. Oh, I don't know about that. I said, well, they have a date. I'll check the date. I'll check the invoice number to make sure they're in the right order. And I'll make sure. And then they're like, okay, never mind. I don't want to put my grandma in that situation. It took all the paperwork and and didn't want to give it to me. He took it back, and I said, okay. Okay, no problem. And I said, okay. He goes, but I'll buy the three. I said, oh, you're going to buy them? Oh, sure, no problem. How much is that? Oh, they're 37. They're up here. So they were 4,000 each, or 4,500 each. Oh, okay, no problem. I'll start the no-interest loans. I go, no, we don't. No down payment loans. I go, we don't do those. We don't do those anymore. You have to pay the endowment minimum, and then the rest, you can do payments. And I work with you. Oh, let me talk to my grandma. Let me get back to you. And I haven't seen them since. So they pretty much walked away.
Wow.
So that's pretty much a done deal. But I'm still waiting.
Here's
for...
Here's my receipt. Okay, I'll buy them.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's how quick. Graffiti removal, they removed the graffiti, most of it, and then they ran out of paint. So the old graffiti that was there for months is still there, but the new graffiti, that all orange one, it's all gone. So it's cleaned up really nice. But the guy that they sent over ran out of paint.
Who sent them over?
The company next door, the one that owns the building. Oh. But that's their wall. We can't touch it.
Oh, is that the same guy that's going to help with the trees?
I'm hoping that he'll cut those trees. No, that's a different owner over here. That's a different one.
Oh, okay.
That's a different property over here. That's a different business. But the one in the back. But I talked to him. I sent him an email. So, hey, is there a possibility that we could have a mural there? Hmm. He goes, I'll talk to the owners. I go, that way you don't have to pay for maintenance. And I go, I already found a muralist that would do it. He has a nonprofit. He did the one in Norwalk. Did you do the one in Norwalk?
No, I haven't.
At the square, Norwalk Square.
I did see it.
It said the wings and butterflies, beautiful. Yeah. He did that one. And it's really nice. And then the bottom, even though he has the design, it's set up that if somebody tagged it, you could go and use the same paint and paint it over. It was very low maintenance because, you know, and the words and everything's on top, so that way nobody could tag it up there, right? So it's kind of thin in the way where it's kind of, it'll be a really nice mural. But you know, we have to pay for the paint and their time, and they don't make any profit, it's just the stuff. So as soon as I get the dimensions of the wall, I'm going to send it to him, he'll give me an estimate, and then we'll know if we can afford it, or if they can afford it, because if they can pay for it, that'd be awesome. And then we'll get a design, and we'll run it through you guys, see if you guys like the design. So anyway, I think that would be a really nice thing to do a mural out there. So we'll get back to that one. So I already said that, mural for business one. I already covered it. Okay, and that concludes my report.
Very good.
Any questions?
No, Trustee Gonzalez, any questions?
No, just real quick about the mural situation thing. We paid them, right?
The muralist? Yeah, because it's like 2.5 story, maybe 3 stories high, and they have to rent a crane, do all that stuff. You got to pay the paint. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll do an estimate based on how much gallons it takes per square. But they know how to measure it, how much mm-hmm. paint it would take, and their time, right? Because they have to get maybe 2 assistants to help out. So, but they're a nonprofit, so they don't make any profit. They just have to pay them for their time, basically.
Because just throwing this out there, but the assistants have to be assistants. But it's like we couldn't get
volunteers.
Like, what did that mean? I'm just going at, if we get a couple of volunteers from, let's just say, Chivas,
they're
not going to be graffitiing all over our bathroom because they're going to be like, I'm a part
of this. Actually, that's a good idea because mural volunteers.
Because a lot of times, like when you bury a gangster here, they love tagging the bathroom wall for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But now, let's say something like that happens, they're going to be like, nah, we got to respect this place because I'm a part of that wall. That's just my point.
Well, they also become your unofficial security at night. Right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so that's concludes my report, and I will ask them tonight, next time I chat, I just communicate with them.
Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay.
Very good. I'm excited about the plot retrieval.
Yeah.
I know you've been working on that for
15
a
plots,
months.
That's a lot of money. That's like 70 grand or something like that. Yeah. 80 grand that we brought back to the district, that's pretty good.
You had, that was one of the first things you had set out to tackle back 6-7 months ago.
Yeah.
So thank you for getting that done.
Yeah.
And thank you for all the good work on your report.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll move on to the consent items. There's 4 items on consent.
Yes.
Anybody can pull a consent item?
I would like to pull item C4.
Okay.
Okay. C4 has been pulled.
And the other 3 are minutes.
May I make a comment on that before the vote? I have to abstain from voting because I was not present at those meetings.
That's correct.
Okay. That's point one. Point two, based on the materials that I have read, there appears to be some disagreement regarding shortened minutes versus longer minutes. My recommendation to those who would vote is to consider the longer ones because it goes towards the issue of transparency. So.
Where is the
you want, so I pull another one?
No, I'm looking at C1.
Oh.
I don't need to pull any items regarding the minutes. Anything you want to pull?
No.
Okay. So we will entertain a motion to approve C items 1, 2, and 3.
And pull item
4. And pull item 4.
I'll make a motion to approve items 1, 2, and 3. C 1, 2, and 3.
And pull item 4.
And pull item 4.
Do we have a second?
Yeah, you get a second.
Yeah, you have a second, because you can.
He can.
Oh, that's right. Well,
I can't, but you could. You're a board member.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I said, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. So, motion carries.
Carries 2 and 1 abstention. Make sure that will be correct. Okay.
All right. So, we'll go to item number 4.
Okay. So, item 4, and I'm glad you pulled it because I wanted to kind of explain a little bit this new chart that we create. I hope that it helps. This is the treasurer's finance report. It's sort of like a summary of all the sales or everything that we did as far as the cemetery sales are concerned. As you can see, it's color-coded. So the yellow is basically all the pre-needs that were sold, people that actually bought in advance and before they needed to be buried. And then you have the orange one, which is people who came in at need. They needed to do it, they needed to do the funeral at the moment. And it kind of summarizes it because they're all different. Sometimes they already bought the plot, maybe they already bought this, and maybe they just, so it's all there. You can kind of look at the summary and about how much money. And if you look, this month is one of the most successful months we've ever had I've been able to find. We actually made $38,000 last month.
You mean August? Okay.
August, yes. Okay. This is how much money we made. Like that's really good. If you look at the previous month, which I thought was really good, it was $28,000. Wow! And this is after you deducted the endowments. So it is very, very. We're really excited, and I think I put that on my report. I do think that a lot of these sales are basically because people are talking to each other. And they're like, hey, I heard this changing over here, new management and blah, blah, blah. Here's a summary of all the accounts, the funding, the balances, I guess. The primary checking account is $12,000, but I think, Anna, we have a few outstanding checks, about $6,000. Yes. So it actually should be about $6,000 because we have a payroll check that didn't clear sale, so it's up half of that. And then we have the credit card machine, and that's basically our savings account where we have the $47,000 to fix the place. We have it in there, and there's sort of like a reserve fund to kind of get the money out to pay the our month to month, right? And then we have the endowment. That's the money, that's the trust fund that we can't touch. And right now we brought it up to $87,000. Now keep in mind, when we started on March 1st, that account was about $32,000. So we've brought it up from we've added another $50,000 or so. So we brought it up from a ways back. So so anyway, so that's kind of like a treasury report to kind of give a summary of this, because I know when we talked about it last month, and we wanted to kind of be a little more clear, include more, and I wanted to highlight a little bit, and I hope that helps. Let me know if you want to change anything, but yes. We've been trying to kind of make it as hopefully as clear as possible.
Can I ask a question? Sure. From Ms. Rosa? In July it was $28,000, in August it was $38,000, just approximately, what was it like in April and May and June?
Oh man, don't tell me about April. I was so scared. I didn't think we were going to make payroll at this. It was bad. maybe 10? I haven't gone back to do those. It was very, very little. I mean, not that it wasn't our income. It was the expenses. You see all the debt that I had to pay between the $45,000 that killed us. Because the IRS wanted the $12,000 now. In April, they were the first ones that got paid. So it was like, I was scared that we were going to make payroll because payroll, IRS, and IRS, and they're compounding the money, right? So it wasn't that we didn't have enough money. It was that, and I don't remember off the top of my head how much was it. I'll go back and check, but I know that we had way too much debt. Now we already paid all our debt, as you can tell, and I was like, at least I paid that off, except for the $900,000. That's still out there pending, but I have another solution for that. But April, May was okay. June was okay, but July, just, I don't know what it was. I think, I know our landscaping hasn't started at the end of May, June. We started raising up the headstones. We started doing a lot of the watering now. We fixed the valves. It's getting greener. So a lot of that stuff is happening. People are coming around like, oh, it looks nice.
So do you think that a lot of the increase is because the place is looking so
better? Yeah, I'm sure of it. Because,
and word of mouth is it?
Yes. Because I've gotten repeat customers. Like, for example, in August, I have two coops. So one brother came in, and he goes, oh, I have my parents are buried here. I want to find a spot there. And I'm like, where do you want? I'll find you a spot. He's like, no, these guys hide spots everywhere. These guys, I know where to hide them. I know how to look for them. Oh, right there, sure. Give me a date. He came out the next day. I go, I found your spot. It's right next to your mom and dad. What? It's right there. I don't know why it's not on the paper. I don't know why it's not there, but it's right there. So I sold it to him. They're going to bury his wife this month. But he bought it last month. It was pre-needed. It's on cremation. So that's all right. And then he told his brother. And then his brother comes the next week. Hey, my brother came by. What's your brother? Cool. Oh, whoops, yeah. Oh, he said you found a spot for him. Can you help me? And I go, yeah. You want one? Yeah, let's go. So I went and I said, let me double check. I'll call you tomorrow. And we went. I always like to make sure once I checked it, I told him, hey, you got a spot. Okay, he came in, paid for it. And he paid an out-of-area fee. Because they live in the Long Beach.
Oh, wow.
Boom. Happy to do it. So it's that. Then we had those kind of repeat kind of customers. Like, oh, they tell each other. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
So the reason why I wanted this poll was to get an idea as to monthly income and how this is reflected, and we'll get to it as part of, I think it's A9.
Yeah, I came out. Yeah, we put that was okay. Separate.
Okay, now, just as a ballpark number, how much income do we need in order to meet all of our expenses, payroll, et cetera, et cetera?
On the minimum, about $42,000 a month.
Okay.
Yeah, $42,000 a month. But we've had some unexpected expenditures. For example, the three valves that were shut down over here that I had to replace, I think with labor and everything, it cost me about maybe a good $2,500. So that was way above what we normally would pay.
So are there other income sources aside from this?
Yeah, so our money comes from sales and from property taxes.
Okay.
And we have our county supervisor that actually provides us with an extra $5,000 allotment to kind of help offset some of our salaries.
Now this is a real tough question for you, but just kind of ballpark it. So if you look at those other income sources and you add in this $38,000, what would the income have been for August? $60,000?
Yeah, it could have been, if you add that, the 38 to the, it's actually back here. If you our monthly and by the way, I broke down the expected revenue and I put expected because it doesn't come monthly. See, what happens is that they give you so in January they give you a big disbursement and they give you another disbursement in April, and then you're kind of dry for the fall, and you kind of start feeling a stronghold, you know, chokehold around October and November because there's no money coming in from taxes. So and the money that our money that was supposed to come in. And January for us got spent on that auditing firm, which are accountants. They paid like $20,000 or $30,000 from our money that was supposed to be used this year. So technically, even though I have it here, it hasn't been here. You understand me?
Okay.
So they got used up in January.
So what we can conclude from on A9 for total revenue from these other sources is another $41,000 on top of this $38,000.
If you look at the our monthly for expected revenue, it's about $25,000 that we expect from $25,000, and then you add the $16,000, which should be our minimum sales goal a month. But we've been actually exceeding that, which I've been very happy to. I'm very happy that we have. We find every sales opportunity that we can. You know, hey, you're like today. this guy came in and goes, your mom's here, I have a spot right next to her. And he's like, oh, I'll come back next month and I'll give you a down payment. So stuff like that. But if you have the 38 to the 25, that should be our monthly income for this month. But like I told you, some of that government money is not here yet.
Okay.
Or it was here in January, but it got taken. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
So
however, my point when we get to that part of the agenda is it appears that our monthly income is relatively healthy.
Yeah, and right now, the last few months have been really good.
Okay.
We've been really blessed, man. I'm telling you, it's been really good. I don't know what it is, but it's changing. And now I'm telling you, I know April and May, I was like, ooh. It was pretty scary, but actually, we did pretty good in July and August, so I'm excited about that. Yeah.
So, Mr. Chair, may I make a motion to accept item C4?
Absolutely. We have a second on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously.
Great.
And we will move on.
Good job, Anna and Tommy.
Thank you. Action item number one. There's two parts to this, A and B. The second part, do you have A and B? Tab or hope? Because I only have a red. I think you have A and B. The first part, is, so you, what you have before you is two sets of minutes. They're the same minutes. When you're looking at part A, that's for the September 12th meeting. No, I'm sorry, for the July 11th meeting. The yellow part of those minutes is what is intended to be retracted or taken away, okay? If you do decide that, then the minutes right after that, that's the way it's going to look. After you already took out the yellow part, it's going to be reduced to like action minutes or something. If you want to keep it the way they are, then just tell us and we'll just take off the yellow part and those will be the minutes that we're going to adopt. So you have a decision to make whether you want to keep the information or not. My report basically is asking that we do keep the information because we weren't recording the minutes. I mean, recording the meetings at that moment, and it's been very. How should I say it's if we erase this, we won't have any documentation or any kind of proof that whatever happened. So, and it doesn't hurt us to keep it. And at the same time, we don't know which way anything else is going as far as closed session is concerned. So we might need that information in the future. So to protect ourselves. So my recommendation is that we keep the other ones. And maybe and going in the future, as a board, you need to make a decision whether you want to go with short, abbreviated action minutes, or continue to have the minutes that have been providing since March. And just every month when we meet, you guys could like, well, I didn't say that, or maybe change that word, or you know, when you forgot to mention this, we'll add it. I mean, if everybody agrees to it, of course, because no one can then just change this by themselves. Because if you said, oh, I want to change this, and they're like, no, you can't change it because that's what you said, then they all have to agree to the change. You see what I'm saying? Because you are all accepting the minutes, so you kind of have to like watch each other. That's why the minutes are here to adopt. So again, it's before you, and that's my recommendation.
So my comment is, Mr. Chair, again, I have to abstain because I was not in attendance, but again, I would encourage transparency.
Thank you. Trustee Gonzalez, any questions?
I agree, and I agree that we keep the minutes as professional as possible and keep everything. So there's no he said, she said, or I forgot, or I say we just keep it this way.
You want an action item or detailed?
I want detailed.
Okay. okay. My concern with the detail is what detail goes in and what detail stays out. And that becomes at the discretion of our
staff.
Mm-hmm. That's part of the challenge of detailed minutes. I'm not against the detail, but I made note on the other minutes that we just approved in a consent, and I'll use them as a reference point. Okay. We had a meeting, and this is what it means about detail. We had a meeting, excuse me. The minutes are from August 8th, and it was a closed session, regular session. But it says here, legal counsel stated that the contractor's license, if the contractor's license was suspended, it will be up to the board to make the contract invalid. Well, that's not what we said.